Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, sheltering in place for the next 2 hours. Yeah, we're not hiding under anything. We're just stuck here because we got to do the radio show for 2 hours. Not that I had anything else better to do from 5 to 7 on Saturday, but hey, we hope you enjoy it anyway. The phone number here is 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I'm tired this morning. I have been working and working and working all week long. We have just been from one end of this state to the other just about, and trying to put together the Maryland Loves Crabs edition for 2013, and it has just been amazing. The interesting people that you meet, the interesting stories that you hear, the interesting conversations that you have, and it's a shame that all of that can't go into the upcoming edition. But you know what? we do what we do best here, and that's just put as much information together as we possibly can and make it as interesting as we possibly can. So. But here we are in the radio today. Boy, Department of Natural Resources has been just jam-packed busy. Their press office has been actually working this week. And it started out with Governor O'Malley's announcement and appointment of John R. Griffin, the Department of Natural Resources Secretary, to his chief of staff. Yes, John Griffin as the governor's chief of staff. Joe Gill, Joseph P. Gill, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, and other change is that the Assistant Secretary for Aquatic Resources, Frank Dawson, has been named the new Deputy Secretary. Dave Goshorn has been with the Department 21 years. He's now the Assistant Secretary. So one, two, three. Let's see. Griffin gets a kick up. Gill gets kicked up. Dawson gets kicked up, and Goshorn gets kicked up. So there've been four jumps in the leadership team there from the Department of Natural Resources. Everybody's kicked it up a notch. So congratulations to John to being named the new governor's chief of staff. And. So we're not going to quote everybody because that's what they do in the press releases. You can read those on your own if you want to go to the Department of Natural Resources website and see that. You're welcome to do that. But interesting stuff. What does that mean for sportsmen? Well, we have a former secretary of the Department of Natural Resources as the governor's chief of staff. He has the governor's ear. I think John is a good secretary, Department of Natural Resources. Some people agree, some people disagree. I happen to think he was a pretty good guy. Looked out for the interest of sportsmen as best he could, and that may be good for folks in the fishing and hunting community. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So then the announcement came out that there was going to be an announcement. That the blue crab winter dredge survey was coming out. So we'll tell you about that. And then they announced that there was a CWD announcement for white-tailed deer. And we'll tell you about that. And then they announced that the rockfish season, yesterday they announced that the rockfish season opened today. Big news, huh? Yeah, big news. So. Anyway, we're here to talk to you about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and we'll fit all that stuff in between telephone calls. If you choose to call us, we pick up our relationship with Schillinger's Papa John's Farm, and we'll be talking about them for a few weeks and the beautiful flowers that they produce there. How was your week last week when we were actually turkey hunting with Jacob? Oh. What a trip. What a trip. We went to meet our buddy Bill, and we call him Crusher. You might know him by that name if you know the guy, down in the Davidsonville area. And met him at 5 o'clock. We were ready to go. We got our gear on. We walked not very far, maybe 250, 300 yards through the woods, and got in our little ground blind there. And it was probably 20 till 6 when we got settled in. Got Jacob set up facing the front of the blind, facing the field, decoy out in front, 20 yards. The scenario was when the gobblers started to call, they would come out into the field, they would see the decoy, and Jacob would have a shot. Well, best laid plans, as you know, turkey hunting, or any kind of hunting or fishing. As we sat and waited about a quarter after six, we heard the first gobble way down in the woods behind us to our left. We were expecting the gobbles to the birds to be roosted in front of us a couple of hundred yards. Well, that didn't happen. So we heard another gobble behind us to our right. So I didn't call. When I go with somebody, I leave that up to them. So Crusher gave a couple soft calls, and we got a response, so we just waited. Bird was on the roost. Waited till the bird flew down. We could tell when he flew down because he would fly down into a little gully, and it would actually sound like he was further away because of the depth of this little gully, but because it was, you know, a ridge between us. So when he flew down, we Crusher struck the call again. And the gobbler started to move in our direction, and we could hear him coming closer, 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 gobbling, you know, constantly. Bird got to 24 yards, immediately to our right. I was tucked in the right corner of the blind and couldn't see him, but Jake, all Jake had to do was turn his head, and he watched that bird hop up on a log and gobble his head off for about, a minute. Crusher could see him, a big giant bird. I saw him later, that's all I know. Big giant bird, about 11-inch beard. And the game plan was he'd see the hen and hop out in the field, and Jacob could take the shot. Well, bird only went into about a half a strut. He jumped off the log all right. He went behind the blind, and off he went. And for the next 2.5 hours, you know, we waited and waited and waited, but we also heard the bird come back. We tried to cut him off. He got around us to the other side of the field and the other side of the woods. We cut across the field to that side of the woods. We called him back. He came within 75 yards on the other side of a ridge. We never did see him. He came back around us again, got around us again. We went back out to the edge of the field. He went to the other side of the woods, and we watched as he came out of the woods and walked past the ground blind where we weren't sitting. And then he just walked straight up through the middle of the field, gobbled his head off the whole time, wouldn't respond to a call, wouldn't respond to a hen, nothing. And away he went. 9 o'clock. We were done. Bird was gone. That was a giant bird. He ran all the other birds out of the area. He established his dominance right there, and we had a good chance to take a look at him and just didn't get the shot. So that was Jacob's first experience as a wild turkey hunter. So I did not go out. I was exhausted. Thursday morning, I thought I'd go, and I just did not make it. You know, woke up about 4 o'clock and fell back asleep about 4:02, and that was the end of it till daylight. So I didn't make it. So that was my experience. That was Jacob's experience. So we had a good time last Saturday. Now, what do you want to hear about first? I'd like to hear from you, 410-922-6680. If you're headed out to do some rock fishing today, don't worry about the rain last night. That's gone, and the fish are already wet, so it won't bother you too much. I don't know about the weather front and, you know, the cold front and the front system that came through. It might be a very good day, but we'll see. The warm weather probably kicked off the spawning frenzy, the striped bass, and the spawning may be over, but here's how it goes today. Give us a call here, 922-668. If you're headed out, we'd love to hear from you. Starting today through May 15th, one fish, minimum 28 inches. Fishing for striped bass is restricted to the Chesapeake Bay waters from the Brewerton Channel to the Virginia Line, including the Tangier and Pocomoke Sounds. Fishing for striped bass is not allowed in any other bays, sounds, tributaries, creeks, and rivers in order to avoid disrupting striped bass spawning activity. That's where we are today. My buddy Tom O'Connell said the third Saturday of April marks the moment bay anglers await to test their skills and luck in catching a trophy-sized rockfish, said Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service Director Tom O'Connell. It's a great time to join friends and family in pursuit of our state fish. With the spring season opener kicking off today, Maryland's iconic striped bass, better known as rockfish, has area anglers preparing to get out on the water in hopes of reeling in a big one. Maryland's Chesapeake Bay spring striped bass season opens today at 5 a.m. Yep, 17 minutes ago. And one fish per person per day and a minimum size of 28 inches through May 15th. Now, that brings up, if you do catch a citation-sized rockfish, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and you could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or even a crab and certify your catch, you're in. It is that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr, that stands for Department of Natural Resources, dnr.maryland, spelled out, .gov, G-O-V, like in government, dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome
all, Jack. Cut 'em all, Jack. Cut 'em all, Jack. Cut 'em all, boys. Cut 'em all.
All right. Let's see. Oh, to reach us online, other than by calling, you can certainly email. That email address is Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, my last name, at ellisoutdoors.com. And since we're talking about computers and all, you can like us on Facebook if you are a friend of social media. We have Ellis Outdoors, LLC. We have Maryland Loves Crabs. We have Maryland Hunting Quarterly. Just like all of them, and that would help us out. We'll like you back. Paul in Ellicott City. Good morning, Paul. How are you, sir?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's up?
Alan, I think I know you, buddy, from back in the 80s.
Oh, you might.
I had FFL back then, and I met you quite a few times, I think, at some gun shows.
Oh, you might have. Sure.
No. Go ahead.
You're up.
No, you are. You're the man. Anyway, I actually got a question I need to ask you off the air about your hunting up in Marriottsville.
Okay.
I think you got down on my uncle's farm.
You think? I haven't hunted in Marriottsville for a while.
The big farm up there, like 1,000 acres?
Mm-mm. Nope. Not me.
Huh.
Why, do you hunt there?
Well, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to.
Uh-huh.
But they, talking about the state now, because he passed away and he gave it all to the state.
Mm-hmm. Is it public land now?
Yeah.
I see. Okay. So is it part of the park up there?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
That's how we should probably talk to you off the air about it.
Okay.
I know there's some stuff going on up there.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you can leave your number with the producer if you like.
I'll do that, brother.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm just actually saying hey to you.
Oh, okay, well.
Once I see you face to face, you'll remember me.
Oh, I have no doubt. Absolutely.
I have no doubt. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Well, just let your number with Brian there, and we'll be good to go. Thanks for the call. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you're not turkey hunting, or if you're not fishing for rockfish, or even if you are, give us a call. You've got plenty of time to wait till legal shooting time, even though the rockfish season has started. You may not be there yet, but our number here is 410 WCBM 680. Yep. All right, let's talk about crab numbers and anything else you want to talk about. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. You're running a show this morning. Please run it better. The Maryland Department of Natural Resources yesterday released the 2013 Blue Crab Winter Dredge Survey showing mixed results. You know, when somebody starts out saying mixed results, you go, there's good news and there's bad news. What's the good news? Well, the number of spawning age females increased substantially this year by 52%, indicating that the current management framework to protect adult female crabs is working. However, here comes the bad news. Reproduction in 2013. And what appears to be high mortality within a record 2012 year class resulted in an overall decline in the baywide population. You should see the face of a waterman when you read this to him, especially one who puts out a bunch of crab pots. Had that opportunity to share with one yesterday. At 147 million, the female population is more than double the scientifically established healthy abundance threshold is 70 million. So, we have a threshold of 70 million. That's the least amount we want in the bay for reproduction or recruitment, as they call it. That's the least amount we want. So we have double that, 147 million female crabs. And I can tell you, I can tell you how they counted these crabs. It's true. Just call and ask, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. I can tell you how they counted them. So we have double the female population for breeding prospects out there. The total abundance of blue crabs dropped. Here comes the other shoe dropping from 765 million to 300 million. So 147 million females, 153 million males. There's still going to be some single guys out there, you know, that are not going to get a date. But the total abundance of crabs dropped from 765 million to 300 million, and the number of juvenile crabs dropped from 581 million to 111 million. Now, if I'm reading these numbers, 111 million juveniles out of a total population of 300 million, I may have misstated, may have misspoke. 111 million juveniles, 147 million females. That's 258 million. That leaves only 42 million adult male crabs. Am I reading these numbers right? Because we don't know what the juveniles are, whether they're males or females, but it doesn't say that they're necessarily breeding age yet. So, quote, the results of this year's winter dredge survey are by no means ideal. However, our strong management framework includes a buffer that allows the population to fluctuate within a safe threshold, said DNR Secretary, former Secretary John Griffin. In fact, the conservation measures we first put into place in 2008 were designed to allow for the naturally occurring fluctuations crabs are known for and ensure a sustainable seafood industry. Okay. We'll go with that for now. There's more. If you have questions, we'll try to answer any questions on that. We have a caller on the line, so let me take a little slurp of coffee here before I go to Guy in Highland Town. Good morning, Guy. How are you doing? Hello, you're on the air, Guy.
Yes, Alan. You caught me drinking coffee also.
Ah, well, you see, just because I take a break and drink coffee doesn't mean you're allowed to. You have to be ready every second.
Well, I was. I threw it down real quick.
And what's up, man?
The quick question, I understand it's first day of rock season, and I didn't realize it was coming up that quick.
Yeah, here we are.
Where I usually go fishing at is down Miller's Island, and I understand you can only fish certain places. I fish offshore down near Miller's Island, and I was wondering if that's considered one of the places you can actually catch them right now.
That's a good question. That is a good question. Is that the bay proper?
If you remember, I hate to throw names out, but if you remember Old Bay Shore where the bridge used to go across.
Yeah.
And the lighthouse, well, that little cove that comes in through there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that. And I think you're okay in Miller's Island there, to be honest with you. But the way the rules read, fishing for striped bass is not allowed in any other bays, sounds, tributaries, creeks, and rivers in order to avoid the disrupting striped bass spawning activity. But I think that area right there is on the bay proper, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's on the opposite side of the cove.
Yeah, okay. Well,
it's on the inside of the cut.
Yeah, you may be out of luck till the 16th.
Not good news.
So, but maybe somebody else can help us out there that knows that area a little better than me.
All right.
Okay, buddy.
Great show.
All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Sorry I couldn't answer that question. Maybe somebody else can. What is this? Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
Chuck?
This is Charles in Baltimore.
Oh, why do we have you as Chuck?
I don't know. Maybe that's what they said.
Well, I will castigate my producer.
Be kind to him.
He's a good guy. How you doing, Charles?
I was on my way to Africa, so I decided to spend a week in Gibraltar.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody knows it, your listeners, But Gibraltar is full of tunnels, and even presidents of the United States have been there, and they've written their name in the tunnels. And the rock is full of apes, Barbary apes that were brought up from Africa, and they let them grow until they're 50 pounds, and then they give them to zoos.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, I went up there, and it was raining, and they have a thing called Devil's Climb. It's supposed to be 1,000 steps to get to the top, and you go there and you visit. And my guide wouldn't go with me, and I didn't know why, but he said, take a big stick with you. And I climbed the Devil's Climb, and the apes, they won't hurt you, but they attack you, and they grab your clothes. I lost all my clothing practically from them tearing him. And you go up the Devil's Climb, and they steal anything you have.
Well, did you forget your stick?
No, I had my stick with me.
Oh.
And they took my lunch, which I had taken to climb up there, and they grabbed my hat, and they tore my pants.
Wow.
And it's quite an experience. I didn't expect all of this. And I thought your listeners would like to hear a story like this.
That's pretty interesting. Barbary apes attacking you as you climb the Devil's Climb. 1,000. You know, Chuck, Charles, if you climbed that thing like twice a day, you could probably stay in pretty good shape, couldn't you?
You possibly could. And it was quite an experience in the rain.
Yep.
And it rains a lot there in Gibraltar.
Sure.
And so listeners could have a lot of fun climbing the Rock of Gibraltar.
I hope I get there someday. That'd be a terrific trip. Thank you, Chuck. Charles,
you're welcome.
Appreciate you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you, buddy. Bye bye. The most interesting man in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk to Steve in Kent Island. Morning, Steve. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, sir? The caller that's calling reference to the Hart Miller Island area.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyone that's listening, if it's okay, just to let them know that you can go on the Department of Natural Resources website and access a map that shows you exactly, particularly for the Upper Bay residents, it's the Brewerton Channel proper.
Right.
Is the actual cutoff line. And they can actually access that on the DNR's website.
Yeah, we talked about the Brewerton Channel. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's
the area the gentleman's referencing is off-limits.
Off-limits, yeah.
It's a prohibited area.
I was unsure about that.
River or in a river is prohibited.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was... I didn't...
And I'd like to say one more comment. I'd like to say, last year, opening day of the straight bass season, the trophy season, was a complete debacle as far as boating accidents.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got everybody out.
We had four boats that were either completely sunk or upended and capsized, and many water rescues. We're going to have pretty much the same type of weather this year.
Yeah.
We're going to have strong, gusty west winds, northwest winds.
Yep.
By mid-afternoon today, you're going to have a pretty heavy sea. So I just like anyone listening that's heading out in a small boat, please use caution. Please wear a life jacket. And, don't overload your boat. Guys are putting 5 and 6 guys in a small aluminum boat and going out and trying to troll. And those small aluminum duck boats, those guys don't believe it. When they fill with water, they sink to the bottom.
Yeah, just like a rock. You're absolutely right. Sure. Yeah, I wouldn't recognize, any kind of wind, any kind of chop. Just, it's not worth dying for a fish.
Right. On top of the tremendous amount of boats that are going to be on the bay today, it's going to be a sunny day, but it's going to be windy, and we're going to have substantial swell.
Well, you got the.
I hope everybody uses caution.
Well, you've got that. You've got the boat show there at the Bay Bridge. You've got a lot of activity going on. So
it looks like the invasion of Normandy off Kent Island.
Yeah, good place to avoid today. But no, I didn't mean that. I want people to go and recreate and enjoy the boat show and do whatever they want to do. But yeah, you got to put safety first. Absolutely.
I just hope that anyone within earshot of your show that's listening, please, if we There were several water rescues last year in front of Manatee State Park.
Right.
If anyone that's going out, please use caution today and have some common sense and wear a life jacket.
Well, you know, those guys that are trolling in the bigger boats, they think they have the the right of way, and the little guys got to be cautious because they're not always. You got lines out. You know, you don't want anybody cutting across your lines. That could cause arguments and, you know, lead to some problems. So just. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, Steve. Thank you. Be careful out there, folks.
All right, sir.
Thanks, buddy. See ya. There he goes. Steve on Kent Island. Excuse me. So what do you think about the crab numbers? It's just ho-hum to you? Or, I mean, if you're a waterman, it's not ho-hum. You know, last year we heard all record number of crabs in the bay. And, you know, we had a very disappointing season. For the crabbers, and now this year we've got reduced numbers, you know, big females. That doesn't do the watermen any good because they can't catch them till fall. So, you know, what's it going to do to the price of crabs? You tell me. And speaking of that, we are working on Maryland Loves Crabs magazine for this year. I will tell you, it is going to be dynamite. It is going to be a big, big issue. We are looking at doubling the size of the magazine this year. A lot more places to go to get crabs. A lot more folks that are, interested in the magazine and what we do with it. Great information as usual. And you can check, you know, Maryland Loves Crabs out online at mdlovescrabs.com. But send your crabbing photos, send your crab eating photos, send your, you know, unusual crab photos to us at ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and we'll consider them for publication, that's for sure. So, and hey, looky there. Looky there. Good morning, Norbert. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Alan. Thank you.
Good. How's the eyeball?
Well, it's not bad. It's getting better, according to the doctor.
Yeah.
It's a 3-month healing process minimum. So, in June, then I'll, you know, it should be healed up at the end of June.
So yeah, good.
I'm hoping for the best.
Yep. Do you still got, you have the patch over it or anything?
No, I have to wear a guard at night,
mm-hmm.
To protect the eye, but I
sure.
don't have to wear a patch during the day or anything.
That's a good thing.
If you didn't know me, you would know that it happened. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I can't see visually on the outside.
Right, so. Right. Yeah. This was a cornea transplant, if I recall,
that's
right?
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Good,
yep.
Good. And the vision is okay?
Coming back okay.
Yeah, good.
You know, when it completely heals, then they'll be able to design a lens for the, you know, for my glasses.
Sure.
Correct whatever little bits are left.
Yep.
And so forth. And then I should be in better shape. Yep.
Good for you. So what's on your mind this morning, sir?
Well, you were running through your crab numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that your mathematics were absolutely perfect.
My mathematics probably were way off.
Yeah, I think there are three separate numbers there.
Three separate.
The number of adult females is a number.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The number of the balance out of the total number of 300 and whatever thousand or 300 million or whatever, and you subtract out the female number, that gives you, roughly speaking, adult males.
Right, 153 okay? million adult males, and then juvenile
right.
number
and
of crabs.
The third number you had was juveniles.
Yeah, I got you.
That's not included in those other two.
Oh, okay.
The others are just adults.
Gotcha.
Okay, now that's one thing. But the question I have is, since you know this up, down, and sideways, is when they measure the number of adult females.
Right.
Of spawning age, they
right.
say. Now, they are, how do they know whether they've spawned or not?
Ah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a lot of females who may be of...
They check each one of them, Norbert.
I see. Okay. All right.
No, I have no idea whether they know that or not. I think it's probably a size thing that they judge. And here's how all this works. They dredge up a number of crabs. They count them. They extrapolate with a computer model is how that all works.
I figured there was something like that.
Yeah.
The biggest thing was what they included in that category. Because, of course, there are mature females, and then there are immature females, which will be spawning.
Right.
You know, as a result of 1, 2, 3 sloughs, whatever.
Right.
You know, I was wondering what exactly went into that number. and that maybe that's one of the reasons why that number is up.
Boy, that's a good question. If you, Norbert, if you send me an email, I will get you an answer to that question.
Okay. I can take care of that.
Yep. Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. However.
Yes, sir.
Let me continue with this. With harvest levels remaining below the scientifically established target, for half a decade, the overall population decline observed in 2013 is not a result of fishing, and overfishing was not occurring. Extremely low reproduction in 2013, combined with what appears to be high mortality on last year's record class, resulted in an overall population dip this year. Here's the interesting part. Scientists believe that an unusually large influx of juvenile red drum may have contributed to the high mortality. These fish are highly predatory on young crabs, and according to federal records, Virginia's recreational anglers last year caught and released an astounding 2.5 million red drum, 40 times the 61,330 reported in 2011, and nearly 90 times the 28,580 reported in 2010. Although they are less common visitors in Maryland's more northern water, the state's 2012 red drum harvest is estimated at nearly 300,000 fish, as to compared to less than 3,000 in 2010 and 2011. Young blue crabs also prey on each other when densities are high, as they were in 2012.
Okay. I got two things that popped out when you read all that.
Yes?
Number one, didn't they say something about low reproduction at the beginning of your comment?
In 2013.
In 2013.
But the 2012...
We're in 2013 now.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's one thing. And then the other thing is that they did not mention in there the fact that the study that just came out this week, it was released regarding the bay grasses...
Right.
...declining to a level back in, you know, way back in the beginning of the 80s.
Right.
And, of course, that's crab habitat.
Yep.
And that means that whatever crabs were around would be vulnerable more to those red drums,
yep,
and other things, because they didn't have a place to hide.
Right.
Okay. They didn't mention that.
No.
All right.
No, and you know, I mean, juvenile blue crabs are favored by just about anything that swims in the Chesapeake Bay. Not necessarily red drum, but there were an abundance of red drum. I mean, now according, you know, we've always heard that striped bass, they don't eat those crabs.
Right.
It's not the striped bass. That's another success story, and it's not because they're eating crabs.
Right.
That's
why you use peelers for bait, right?
No, uh-uh. No. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well. Well, those drum fishermen are already going to be lined up along the shore. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens when those red drum come back. Maybe they'll be nice and nice size ones. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That's a possibility. They ate enough crabs last summer.
Exactly. Exactly.
And two, that lower size is protected.
Yeah.
Until they get to a relatively substantial size.
Exactly. There you go. See, you won't have to put crab imperial in your red drum when you eat it this year because they already taste like that.
I can see the recipe now. Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right. Have a great day, Alan.
Thanks, Norbert.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. Bye. Hey, if you enjoy gardening, and keep in mind, this is not the gardening club, but our listeners seem to like Papa John's Farm. I always recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Now, Papa John's greenhouse right now, greenhouses are absolutely bursting with beautiful plants and flowers. They just opened. They've got annuals by the pack or the flat, perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters and hanging baskets, beautiful arrays of flowers, colorful pansies and patience, petunias and all the, even the proven winter specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes and squash, watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers and herbs also, too, as well. Papa John's Farm is located off I-97 at exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses and make your selection. Have you ever been there? It's pretty cool. They put all the plants out on these farm wagons, or you can walk through the greenhouses and select your hanging baskets. It's really cool. Anyway, way to get there by phone is by calling 410-969-5909. I'd like you to think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden or for your church. And don't forget, Mother's Day is coming soon, May 12th. Call 410-969-5909. That's Papa John's Farm, open every day. Visit Schillinger's, Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. They still got plenty of rockfish supplies, you know, trolling rods and reels, all the umbrella rigs and bucktails. They've got that great fishing hotline, too. Maybe we'll call that later. That phone number is 410-247-FISH, 247-3474. If you're a hunter or like to shoot shooting sports, they've got the great Browning firearms, the Browning BPS pump shotgun. They even got the 10-gauge turkey gun if you like to order one of those. They've got the great Satori, 725 Satori for sporting clays or upland shooting. They've got a line of handguns. They've got some ammunition as well. Why not give them a call or stop by? Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. And don't forget that hotline, 247-FISH. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
If you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 32nd Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harvard Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 3rd, Saturday, May 4th, and Sunday, May 5th. Admission is free. Over 120 exhibitors and artists display paintings and prints, sculptures and carvings, photography and sportsman's collectibles. There's great food, retriever dog demonstrations, and much more. The annual live auction is 5:30 p.m. on Saturday at the Activity Center. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the Activity Center. Poverty Grace commemorates the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812 the same weekend. Celebrate the bicentennial by attending the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake at the Decoy Museum on May 3rd, 4th, and 5th with free admission to this family-friendly event. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739. See you at the Decoy Festival.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
It's your chance to sound off on local, national, and international developments from 9 to noon on the Tom Marsh Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Tommy James, dragging the line for all you trollers out there today. We hope that you have success and catch your fish and get off the water and stay safe. You know, we had a warning from Steve there earlier about the weather, and we just want you to keep that in mind. So, all right, well, what do you think about the crab survey? I appreciate Norbert's input on that. What do you think? Do you think the red drum what ate all the crabs? Lack of bay grasses, that report came out earlier this week, too, that low number of grasses in Chesapeake Bay. We had some good numbers on those for a couple of years, and then we had all that awful weather, and now the bay grasses are down and out a little bit, so let's see what happens. Hey, there's Gary and Severn. Let's talk about trout fishing. Good. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Hey, fine. How you doing, Alan?
Good, man. What's going on? How you been?
I've been fine. In the truck heading out to
Garrett County.
Actually, I was out there last Sunday.
Right.
County.
Okay. How'd that work?
That was nice. It was a little different because usually we go out there for a weekend and camp and stuff, but with all this rain seems like it rains every Friday, which is a disaster for fly fishermen because the creeks get up and muddy and, there's just not a whole lot to do, and it takes 2 days for them to come down. So
right.
We were, but I noticed, luckily you got that, you can monitor the river flows, you know, with the USGS stuff.
Right.
And we noticed the Castleman was coming down pretty quick on Saturday. So
okay.
Just did a day trip out there, left at 6 in the morning and was on the stream at 9:30 and fished until about 4 and then drove home.
How'd you make out?
So-so.
Yep.
I think I got 5 or 6, and my buddy got about 30.
he must have been holding his mouth right or spitting on his bait or something.
That's right.
Good grief. Wow.
Yeah.
So.
But it was nice. And I went up Wednesday night. I went up to the Susquehanna and chased the hickory shad.
How'd you make out with that?
And that was wonderful.
Oh, you had good time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We were wondering because did you go on the river itself or did you go up Deer Creek?
I went on the river right at the mouth of the creek.
Sure.
And got there around 4 in the afternoon or so, fished till 7:30, and I think I caught around 25 hickory shad, something like that. And I just really enjoyed it because I used to be able to get up there 4 or 5 times a year. Now it's only once or twice, and the last 2 years I didn't do well. I didn't hit it right.
Right.
But I hit it right this time. It was just really nice. The river flows were up in about 80,000 CFS, I guess, from the rainstorms from last week, pretty big watershed, so it, I guess it takes a while for all that water to work its way down to Pennsylvania and stuff.
Well, it sounds like you had a good time.
Oh, it was wonderful.
All right,
and,
well, good.
This morning, heading over to Tapsco Avalon for the second opening day at Trout.
Yeah, well, so, good luck. Hey, Gary, we got to cut you off there. I'm sorry I have to take a last break, but I appreciate you checking in with all that, and glad to hear about the hickories.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks, buddy. Yep, see ya. Bye-bye.
If you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 32nd Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Howard E. Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 3rd, Saturday, May 4th, and Sunday, May 5th. Admission is free. Over 120 exhibitors and artists display paintings and prints, sculptures and carvings, photography and sportsman's collectibles. There's great food, retriever dog demonstrations, and much more. The annual live auction is 5:30 p.m. on Saturday at the Activity Center. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the Activity Center. Howard E. Grace commemorates the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812 the same weekend. Celebrate the bicentennial by attending the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake at the Decoy Museum on May 3rd, 4th, and 5th with free admission to this family-friendly event. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739. See you at the Decoy Festival.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8255. 8410 W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, we hated to cut Gary off, but we had to get our, you know, the folks in there that pay the bills, so we had to get them in there. So we appreciate him, his understanding on that. But it sounds like he had a good time trout fishing in Western Maryland and fishing on the Hickory Shad. We haven't talked about that much. I had a friend that was up there last Friday, low water, no fish in 2 hours. So that was in Deer Creek. So we'll see. Maybe this storm they had up in that area last night. You know, I was really thinking about the folks on the upper shore, the folks I know up there. So we'll see what happens with the hickories. Let's see if they get launched up into Deer Creek and in their spawning reaches like they're supposed to do. So we got more of the Outdoors and Radio Show coming back in the next hour after the news. We'll talk about fishing and hunting and guns and crabs and whatever you want to talk about. You're running the show this morning. We've got